the Ontario 500. A.J. Foyt is in first place. In the Mercury prepared by the Woods brothers, he has a 7-second lead over Bobby Allison, car number 12 in the Chevrolet. Buddy Baker, car number 11, is in third place. Richard Petty is running fourth. In fourth spot, car number 4. That is Herschel McCripp from Bridal Veil, Oregon. Car number 96. That is Ray Elder. Ray Elder, one of the top Grand National Western drivers. Car number 48 is the veteran James Hilton. Don White, the veteran from Keokuk, Iowa, taking a good run today in car number 99. Elmo Langley, another veteran, car number 64. And in 10th spot, number 24, another veteran, Cecil Gordon. Those are the top 10 places. We have at this time 39 cars still running out of a starting field of 51. Now let's set the rest of the field for you. And we'll take it by rows. Cliff Garner, Dick Bound. Dick Bound is another Western driver. John Soares in car number 3, still in it. Bill Butts, car number 6. Dean Dalton, a young man who's beginning to make his mark in NASCAR Grand National Racing. Ramo Scott in car number 9. Bill Champion, the veteran, car number 10, still out there going. Dick Kranzler, car number 14. Jack McCoy, one of the top Western drivers. Henley Gray, a veteran out of the southeastern part of the country. George Altheide, car number 20, still going. Chuck Bound, car number 27. Bill Osborne, car number 29. Kevin Terrace, car 32. Mike James, car number 34. Carl Adams, number 39. Sonny Easley, another Western driver, a good one. Car number 40, Earl Canavan. Earl is out of it. Marty Robbins, the country singer, he is still going very well today. Jim Witt, car number 44. Raymond Williams, Gene Romero, 1971 motorcycle champion in his first major stock car race. Jimmy Finger, young man out of Texas, still out there. Veteran J.D. McDuffie, Benny Parsons still going. Ben Arnold is still in it. Chuck Roberts still going. Ron Gutsche, another Western driver. J.C. Danielson Jr., Johnny Anderson, and Bob Kopp. That's the field. And we now just get the word that Gene Romero in car number 53 has just dropped out of it at lap number 118, and that's where we are right now. Donnie Allison is working with us. Chris Economaki, the editor and publisher of National Speed Sport News, is with us. I am Keith Jackson. And this is the Ontario 500 on ABC's Championship Auto Racing.
Working with us today on ABC's Championship Auto Racing, young fellow from Hueytown, Alabama, who's cut a lot of grooves on a lot of grand national racetracks around this country, including this one. He didn't have a ride for the Ontario 500, so we grabbed him in a hurry to work with us today. Donnie Allison. And Donnie, this racetrack presents a lot of unusual problems, a lot of interesting problems for the mechanics as well as the drivers.
Well, it sure does, Keith, because the racetrack is flat, and it is definitely a chassis racetrack. You've got to handle here.
Now, as we get along through the day, it's going to get a little slicker, too. Probably that last 50 miles, it'll some spots may be like riding around on ice.
Yes, I think so, and I know that the guys have tried to take this into consideration and work towards it.
As we've worked our way through the afternoon, the temperature has gone up, 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 up. The temperature probably on the track right now may be in the neighborhood of 130 degrees.
Yes, I think at this time it is very slick.
That comes from rubber and oil.
Right, blown engines and what have you, and definitely the heat.
And we are live in color from the Ontario Motor Speedway as we look down on it from the Goodyear blimp. And Chris Economaki is the man working along pit road today. Let's have Chris bring you up to date on what has happened down there this afternoon. Chris?
Oh, hey, look at the pits, Kate. On this sweltering, searing Southern California Sunday, with a temperature over 90 degrees, the men in the pits are really working today. An early race accident eliminated Bobby Isaac and Mark Donahue, and the tension now centers here in the pits where the men are changing tires and adding gasoline in less than 16 seconds as far as the faster cars go. To make up 5 seconds on the track sometimes takes a good driver up to 100 miles. The race could be won right down here. Back to you, Keith.
A.J. Foyt, the leader, is in the pits. The Woods brothers have handled him brilliantly so far this afternoon. Donnie Allison, I guess we have to say that these fellas just continue to be incredible the way they can get a race car in and out.
Right, Keith. They are about as quick as there is in the business. They've proved it time and time again. And that was a very quick pit stop, 17 seconds.
Now we're looking at the top of the screen at Buddy Baker and Bobby Allison, and they've been in that posture most of the afternoon, really fighting each other. And right now they're coming along the back straight and they're looking at first place, but A.J. Foyt, of course, got out of it in a big hurry and got back on the racetrack. He only took about 19 seconds on that pit stop. You're watching ABC's Championship Auto Series. A.J. Foyt is the leader. If he comes around in time, we'll have more in a moment. So there is A.J. in car number 21. Car 11 is the leader, Baker. Allison right behind him. Bobby right now getting a draft down the back straight, but apparently not. Well, let's see. He's going to take a draft. They're going to take a run at him, and let's see if he can pick him off. As you're watching live and in color from Ontario Motor Speedway in Southern California, and Bobby Allison has the lead. So your brother Bobby is in the lead, Donnie Allison, and it looks like his equipment is performing very well for him.
Right. I think right now, Keith, that everything is going pretty good for Bobby, but Bobby and Buddy Baker both have been running an extremely hard race all day. They've raced from the start. AJ at a time has been in the lead and off away, and Richard in the lead and off away, but these two boys have been right there racing all day.
The racetrack here at the Ontario Motor Speedway, 2.5 mile oval. It is flatter than most of the NASCAR Grand National fellas are used to racing on. The straightaways are banked at 1 degree. The turns are at 9 degrees. And there's a picture of the leader, Bobby Allison, in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. He's driving Junior Johnson Chevrolet car number 12. Of course, Buddy Baker in car 11 is driving a Petty engineering automobile. And Richard Petty is now running along in third place with A.J. Foyt back in fourth. And there's Richard. And A.J. is just a little behind him. There have been times during the afternoon where we have had all four of these automobiles literally hub to hub and bumper to bumper. But they are strung out a little bit right now. Let's go back to the start of the race. And recall that the front row, the starting front row, was A.J. Foyt, Bobby Allison, Richard Petty, with Buddy Baker right along the inside behind them. Bobby Isaac, who is out of the race because of a wreck with Mark Donahue. He was on the second row as well. 51 automobiles starting, and we have at this time lost 14. So we have 37 cars running, and the cars out of it, let me run them down for you, are Jim Vandiver, George Fulmer, David Boggs, Don Noel, Doc Faustino, Mark Donahue and Bobby Isaac, Frank Warren, Red Farmer, Earl Canavan, Bill Osborne, G.T. Tallis, Gene Romero, and Don White. The leader is Bobby Allison. On a flat track like this, on a very hot day like this, Donnie Allison, it would seem to me that at this point in the race, they're starting to get a little bit slick.
Right, Keith, and in fact, you can see the tires smoke a little in the turn, and I know this racetrack right now is quite slick.
Here comes the leader, Buddy Baker, into the pits. He comes in under green. We have had a total of 26 laps under the yellow. And here's the leader, Baker pitting. Bobby Allison now pulls out all by himself. I say the leader because Baker had the lead, gave it up on a draft to Allison, was in a position to redraft back and take it, instead pulled off and has come to the pits for tires, fuel, and we'll take a look to see whether or not they're changing the weight distribution of the car, or as you fellas call it, the wedge. Now, we have seen a couple of them change or work on what you call the wedge or the shifting of the weight. In particular, Richard Petty did.
Right, Keith. What happens, I think they start the race, and then as it goes on and the racetrack does get slicker, the car begins to try to spin the back wheel, so they do put some wedge in the car. I noticed they did do this to Richard's car on an earlier pit stop.
Now, Bobby Allison should be due in the pits himself shortly. Richard Petty was in the pits and out in about 22 seconds. The speeds are up around 105 miles an hour because of the very slow caution lights and a total of 26 laps under the caution. The race average speed is going to be way down. The record set last year at 134 plus by A.J. Foyt, who is seeking to repeat as the champion here at the Ontario Motor Speedway. Speed this year has got to be down unless they can really turn it on from here on. And the way they are running, of course, it could very well be. And the standings are at this moment. At 128 laps, it is Bobby Allison, Richard Petty, A.J. Foyt, and Buddy Baker as you watch the Ontario 500 live on ABC. More in a moment.
There's your leader, Richard Petty, number 43. He has the lead because Bobby Allison came into the pits while we were away. It was a routine pit stop for him. He took 18 and a half seconds, was out in a very good time. So Richard Petty has the lead right now. Chris Economaki on pit road.
We've been clocking the pit stops as they occur here, and A.J. Foyt's look like his foot consistently the fastest, with the Petty team taking about 20 to 20 and a half seconds to get their men back on the track. A 5-second difference here, while Junior Johnson on the Allison crew is doing his work, tires and gasoline, in about 18 seconds. That's it.
A.J. Foyt running through the traffic and closing in on Richard Petty. The temperature is close to 90, as Chris Konomacki indicated at the outset. The track temperature has got to be, Donnie, I would think, in the neighborhood of 130 to 135 degrees at this time.
Hi, Keith. I'm sure that the track temperature is quite a bit higher now, simply because the sun is out and beating down. And you can tell by watching these cars that, that it is taking a toll on the tires.
Richard Petty should be pitting right about 135th lap. He is not far away from a pit stop himself. And they've been running under the green since the 56th lap. So we've had a very long run under green, and it's been very competitive. Let's go back a couple of hours ago, about 2.5 hours ago, when 51 of these big Grand National stock cars lined up on the starting grid here at the Ontario Motor Speedway and went off in a bunch. The biggest starting field along the Grand National Tour. And the front row, as we indicated, was a sight, with A.J. Foyt inside, Bobby Allison in the middle, and Richard Petty outside. This, the videotape of the start. Dodge 240Z, the pace car, leading around the turn and going down into pit road. And the flag man, Pete Keller, starter, held him quite a while. He made them all pretty much get on that straight. He dropped the green. There you are, 51 cars heading for the starting line, and Donnie Allison, tell me what it's like when you're sitting there.
Well, Keith, the thing about it is if you're not on the pole, you have to wait till the pole man starts the race, and then they show you the flag. Of course, the tension is really up to the max tonight, and it is a drag race to the first race, you see, and A.J. does get there first.
A lot of people were wondering, with three men abreast, who would have the right-of-way? The obvious comment, of course, and answer to that is the man inside, A.J. Foyt. Richard Petty grabbed the initial lead, as you see, and he came from the top on the outside position.
Right, Keith, this even fooled me because Richard literally just went right by A.J. on the outside groove, and this early in the racetrack's still green. It's amazing to see this done.
But he didn't stay there very long, as that old tough Texan A.J. Foyt came thundering right by him on the back straight. And as they came around at the end of lap number one, it was Foyt in first place, Petty in second, with Baker, Isaac, Allison, all right there in a bunch. They began to string out a little bit, and even at this point of the race, I think you could, Donnie, begin to see where the relative power, the balance of power lie, and most of it was up in that front group. Foyt, Allison, Petty, Baker, Isaac, Mark Donohue running among the early leaders. So it became abundantly clear very quickly as to where the real powerful automobiles were. So that was the way it was on the start. There was no trouble at the start, and now we are back live. And at 130 laps, it is Richard Petty, A.J. Foyt, Buddy Baker, and Bobby Allison in that order. They are the first four, and they are running on the same lap. The rest of the field, and there are 37 cars still running, are at least one lap or more down. It has become quite hazy, and I think we're getting a little bit of wind, which I think is probably cooling things off a little bit, and it's a welcome respite, I'm sure, and there is a pit board sign out for Richard Petty, and here comes the leader into the pits. So we'll put a clock on Richard Petty and see how they handle him. And perhaps importantly, watch what they do to him. All right, Chris, you there?
The Petty crew is working on the car. Earlier in the race, at 75 laps, Richard had to make an unscheduled pit stop, which has put him about a half a tank full off the leaders. He may have to make one more stop before this race is over. There's the clock ticking away, and as you can see, it took him almost 22 seconds to get him out of the pits. That's it.
So he used almost 22 seconds in the pit. However, he lost considerably more than that in racetrack time. And that will put A.J. Foyt back into the lead. So there he is in the maroon and white Mercury, A.J. Foyt, rolling along and once more in the lead. And he has been there a great deal of the time this afternoon, running like he's on a string. Here's Petty. It looks to me like, Donnie, he's having trouble getting up to speed.
Yes, it looks like he's either lost gear, maybe third gear or something in the transmission, and had to shift into high gear right away. And this is going to really cost Richard.
Now he has it moving, but he is still not at speed. When you see other people going by Richard Petty at that pace, and those are tail enders, you know that he is in trouble. And he's holding to the low groove, and he is slowing down again. So apparently something happened during the course of that pit stop. Or maybe it happened before. We don't know, but Richard Petty is now driving a sick car. It has been a tough afternoon for these front four runners. They have been banging away at each other all day, and here is the first crack.
Richard Petty, I believe, has a flat tire, Keith. I noticed the car got awful loose in the apron.
It seems incredible that he would just leave the pits and have a flat. Let's see what it is. They go to work on the right rear. They top off the tank, but it's that right rear tire that's causing the trouble. We saw Bobby Allison earlier on a pit stop, too. He changed tires. Then he came back. And let's go down to Chris. Chris, what's the story on Petty? Just the tire?
You're down here in the Petty pit, and it's a dejected group of boys we're talking with. Apparently, the airline that runs the pneumatic wrench was cut where the right rear wheel was being bolted on. And as a consequence, the wheel was not mounted tightly enough and wobbled on the axle. So therefore, Richard had to come back, and the wheel, which has egg-shaped holes for the lugs to go through, had to be removed and a new one put on, and this could very well cost Richard Petty this 500-mile race.
So A.J. Foyt is in the lead with Buddy Baker, Bobby Allison still pursuing. The standings right there, and Richard Petty is in fourth place.
Well, I think that everybody enjoys racing with A.J. simply for the fact that they would like to beat him. But so far, he's turned the trick on him. And I know that A.J. is a very tough competitor and a whale of a race car driver.
He set the record here last year in the first Ontario 500, winning at 134.168 miles an hour. He is looking to repeat, and he looks pretty good right now. He leads the race with Bobby Allison, Buddy Baker, Richard Petty in that order. Then you drop back to fifth place, two laps down, you would have Ray Elder. And also two laps down, you would have Herschel McGriff from Bridal Veil, Oregon, two Western drivers. Three laps down would be James Hilton, driving car number 48, and Don White in car number 99. And four laps down would be car number 42, that is Marty Robbins, who was singing a concert last night in the city of Long Beach and out here this afternoon, running hard and running well and sitting right now in number nine position. A.J. Foyt in the maroon and white Mercury, prepared by Glenn Woods and the Woods brothers, really sailing along. The Ontario 500, of course, sanctioned by NASCAR, the National Association of Stock Car Racing. This is race number four on the 1972 schedule. Coming up next weekend, the Carolina 500, next Sunday at Rockingham, North Carolina. And on March 26th, the Atlanta 500 in Atlanta, Georgia. And April 9th, at Bristol, Tennessee, the Southeastern 500. Those are upcoming events.
or NASCAR. Or if you live in that part of the country and you want to be entertained, that's the place to go. The crowd this afternoon up around 80,000, and they are watching A.J. Foyt lead with Bobby Allison running in second place, Buddy Baker routing along in third, and Richard Petty running fourth. There's number 12. A.J. Foyt whistling along that back straight. Now, as you come off of turn number two up here and go into that straight, which is your high-speed run, Donnie, you come very, very close to the wall.
That's right. The thing that you got to make the race car run as straight as you can all the way around the racetrack. And if you run right straight at the wall coming off the corner, it doesn't bind the car up. And as a matter of fact, you do run faster that way.
A.J. Foyt roasting along at about 148 miles an hour, and at this pace, I think that is enough indication of the kind of gear that he's got to work with this afternoon. He qualified at a little better than 153. He and Bobby Allison both set qualifying records on this racetrack. And A.J. has been running at about 146 to 148 most of the time that he's been under green. The only major incident we have had on the racetrack so far this afternoon involved Bobby Isaac and Mark Donahue when they were running among the leaders. As a matter of fact, at the time the incident occurred, they were fighting for third place. And we'll show you that in just a moment.
Okay, here's Cecil Gordon in the car. And apparently, he feels well enough to continue. He looks rather tired. Frank's standing here. What's the story, Frank?
The rest of the way. He's running pretty good. He doesn't want to lose any time on a driver change if he can help it.
Well, there you have it. The best laid plans of mice and men. Cecil Gordon in and gone without any help.
All right, the standings once more. A.J. Foyt has the lead. Bobby Allison, Buddy Baker, Richard Petty in that order, followed by Herschel McGriff and Ray Elder. We'll have a look at the Mark Donahue-Bobby Isaac tussle in just a moment. It's out, the yellow light is on, and the field slows down. Now, there are two stories here. One obvious story of Cecil Gordon. He had unfolded just moments ago when he decided to stay in his car and on the very next time around the racetrack, kiss the wall. Also, this is a distinct break for A.J. Foyt because he was due to pit around lap 154 or 156. Now the yellow flag is out at lap 150, and you got to say it's a break for A.J. because now he can come in under yellow and take on tires and gas. It'll be interesting to see how many tires he takes with 50 laps to go, or now 49 laps to go. Probably will take on all four tires, would you guess, Donnie?
I would think so, and this is a definite disadvantage for Richard Petty because of him having to make the two pit stops one after the other. But I think now you'll see a race for the rest of the race because it will put Bobby and Buddy Baker back with A.J. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
As they go to yellow on NASCAR competition, the field closes up so that Bobby Allison and Buddy Baker will be pulling right in behind A.J. or perhaps even in front of it. Here comes Foyt into the pits now. Let's watch the Woods brothers work on him. And Chris Economaki is standing right there.
Well, we're standing down here in the Woods brothers pit. The leader, A.J. Foyt, comes in, and this magnificent team of men from Stuart, Virginia, goes to work. Not only is Foyt's car running better than any other car on the track, not only is he driving better than any other man, not only is his pit crew working faster than any other crew, now was his schedule time to stop. They're changing the inside rubber using the pneumatic wrenches that you can see here. There goes the left rear wheel off and a new one put on. Brand new lug bolts, which are cemented bike rings to the wheel, go on with great ease. Now, the car's been fueled, tires on, and off he goes. There you see one of the finest drivers and one of the finest teams in stock car racing at work.
And A.J. Foyt comes out of the pits first. Bobby Allison and Buddy Baker are both in the pits.
Allison took on right side tires. As a matter of fact, Allison took on four freshmans. Buddy Baker's car is still jacked up in the pit. You see it right there. A.J. Boyd is out and running. So his pit stop is just described. Professionalism epitomized. Now it's Buddy Baker wheeling out, but Bobby Allison's in front of him. So Bobby Allison goes out in second place, and Buddy Baker goes out in third. Now let's see what happens to Richard Petty here as we place the field for you. At 150 laps, it was Voigt, Allison, and Baker. They are still in that perspective. Richard Petty was a lap down. Now let's check and see if Richard is still a lap down. Yes, he is. So at 150 laps, working on 151, it's Bobby Allison, J.J. Boyd, Bobby Allison, and Buddy Baker. Car number 21, the maroon and white Mercury, has the lead with that gold Chevrolet in second and Buddy Baker in the red Dodge third. The Ontario 500. You're watching it on ABC, and we'll have more right after this. Standing by his car. These were some of the thoughts that AJ had as he prepared to fire up his engine.
You want to set it yourself?
I'd like to try to set it and hold it all day if any way possible.
What about saving the car?
I'll be saving it if I'm setting the pace. I feel I won't strain it that hard.
Will you allow someone to go by if you feel that they're setting too fast the pace in the early going?
I'm quite sure there'll be someone going by, but I'll show you one thing. If any way possible, I will challenge them by.
You're the defending champion, AJ. The 500 here in Ontario is a very important race. How do you rank it among the other races in which you compete?
It's very honor to be here, and it's a very big race, and I feel that just may the best man win.
Well, those were the comments of A.J. Boyd when the race started, and the way he has driven the race today reflects pretty much his plan, and he has stuck right to the game plan, and he's sitting right up there in front. Bobby Allison and Buddy Baker behind him on the same lap, and the speed, as we noted, 124.5 through 150 laps, and we're working on 153. We are under yellow at this time. Under the yellow flag, A.J. Boyd, the leader again, Chris.
In every business, headaches once in a while occur, as they do in stock car racing. This is the plate that is handed over the wall in a long pole to Richard Petty. Water, a soft drink, a choice of aspirin tablets or soft tablets, along with all the work that goes on while he's in the pits for a very short 20 seconds. Back to you, Keith.
Richard Petty this afternoon, running without luck. For about 130 laps, he was very much in it. But he has been dropped for the moment by Dame Fortune, and he is sitting in fourth spot, a lap down. Again, I'll repeat, the only incident we've had on the racetrack under speed today involved Mark Donahue and Bobby Isaac. They were not injured, and we will, as we have time, show you that particular spin and wreck that took those two cars out. We have 14 cars out of action right now. Actually, we have 15. Car number 39 is standing by but may run some more. The standings, as you see, will continue after this. As the field comes down, A.J. Boyd, Bobby Allison, Buddy Baker right behind him, and Richard Petty running in fourth spot, but he's still got to unwind himself. He is a lap down. So you've got 1, 2, 3 in a row. Let's see whether or not Boyd can put him away. Allison right behind Boyd, and Baker right behind Allison. Work their way off turn number two, go right up against the wall, and here goes Bobby on a trap. Bobby Allison on the inside, A.J. Park running next to the wall, and Buddy Baker coming right in behind Bobby Allison. So you had a double draft. You had Allison drafting Boyd, Baker drafting Allison, and both of them passed him. Going into turn number three, 9 degree banking. There's Richard Petty. He's running right behind the top three. But remember, he is a lap down. He's got to unwind himself, Donnie, and then hope that he can get a yellow flag. Then he would be back in it.
Yeah, that's the only chance he has right now, is to get back in the same lap and have a caution flag. But right now, I think we want to see a race like we saw earlier. I know these guys are throwing everything out the window. They're just going to run flat out the rest of the way.
Bobby Allison, A.J. Foyt, Buddy Baker in that order. Allison is leading. You think A.J. is going to draft him here and grab the lead back? Looks like it.
I think he's going right back by, Keith.
Would it not be easier on him and his equipment if he could just sit there behind Bobby for a while and roll along with him?
Well, I think right now what he's doing is trying to show Bobby that he can outrun him, try to beat him mentally. But I have to say that Bobby's pretty hard to beat that way.
It does not appear at this particular moment, however, that Buddy Baker, though he is hanging on through the draft, but it does not appear that Buddy has all of the tools of Foyt and Allison. And here you see Allison and Foyt, hub to hub. Bobby bidding for the lead, and he's trying for it, but I don't know if, yes, he gets it on the short chute. Now they work down off turn two, head alongside that wall, and they'll go down to 3,300 foot back straightaway. Next Sunday at 5 Eastern Standard Time, ABC's Championship Auto Racing continues with the Carolina 500 stock car race from Rockingham, North Carolina. All the big names in stock car racing will be at there, the same fellows who are running here today. The telecast, however, will not be seen within 250 miles of the Rockingham, North Carolina area. The rest of the country, it's next Sunday here on ABC at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Carolina 500. There's Bobby Allison. And you're looking at him and his duel right there. Bobby's car is on the left. A.J. Foyt on the right. And Foyt, working with the draft, regains the lead. Buddy Baker is running third behind these two. Foyt's number 21, Allison's number 12, and Richard Petty in fourth spot, number 43. Richard now moving up to pass his teammate, Buddy Baker. But remember, Richard is a lap down. So Buddy is still in third place, despite the fact that Richard now has unwound himself and is running on the same lap. At lap 160, your leader is car number 21, A.J. Foyt, with Bobby Allison running right behind him. You're very familiar with this Junior Johnson Chevrolet. It seems to be sounder as the weeks go by.
Yeah, I think they're gradually getting the bugs out of this car. I know that it is probably one of the most competitive cars out there, and right now it looks like the car is running smoothly. I know that he has been pushing A.J. one time or another all day. So it just remains to be seen. I think that this is going to be the race to the finish right here.
Foyt had a comfortable lead. He was leading by 14 and a half seconds before we had the caution come on for Cecil Gordon's incident. Spin and hitting the wall. Cecil, of course, not hurt. They are running just about as fast as you can run on this particular type of racetrack right here. Foyt is pulling and Bobby Allison's pushing on the draft. But of course, the man doing the drafting from the back is the one who has the edge. At 160 laps, it's Foyt, Allison, Baker, Petty in that order. When you are running this close together and running this hard, the slightest mistake or the slightest piece of bad luck in capricious condition can put you into the wall. It happened three times today. Only once were two cars really involved in it, and they were Bobby Isaac and Mark Donahue. That happened as they came off the yellow flag in lap 43 on a restart. It was videotaped just about 2 hours ago, and let's take a look at it. At that time, we actually had nine cars running in the same lap. Bobby Allison was screaming along then, just as he is now. A.J. Foyt in the thick of it, and this is the way it happened. And as Bobby Isaac described it, they were very close, and apparently he hooked Mark Donahue's bumper. No one can really be sure, because they were in traffic and both going very hard. Isaac hit the wall. He was not injured. Donahue spun around and had the rear end of his car almost torn off the Matador, number 16. Bobby Isaac falling out right there. Both of them shaken a little bit, but both walked away from the wreck. Both cars dragged back to the garage. Both men checked at the hospital and then sent on their way. So that was the most serious moment of the entire day. Take one more look at it. And there's, how do you control yourself in a circumstance like that when suddenly, bang, you're involved and you have no idea that it's coming?
Actually, the first thing you think about is to try to keep the car out of the groove so you don't get hit by the other traffic. I know, I think what happened here is that Bobby did anticipate Mark to go into the corner a little harder, and Mark didn't, so Isaac did clip him. It's a bad situation because you absolutely don't have any control at all over the car.
But it's also remarkable to me, Donnie Allison, that men can hang on as we go back to live action here and A.J. Foyt getting information from the pit, that you can hold on to the automobile, hold on to your presence of mind, and yet survive it, walk away from it, and come back to race the next Sunday, and oftentimes with the same automobile. There is Richard Petty. And Petty's still trying to unwind himself as A.J. Foyt has the lead. Bobby Allison running right behind him in second place. And Bobby is going back for the lead on the draft down the straight. And Bobby Allison once more gets the lead with A.J. Foyt dropping back to second. Richard Petty is running right behind him. But these two fellows to unwind himself. He is a lap down. There's the order. Allison, Foyt, Baker, Petty. We'll be back with more right after this. A little tire smoke, though, and now again we see Richard swing out and try to go on down by him, but he can't do it. Meantime, Bobby Allison takes advantage and gets a little draft going and moves up alongside Richard Petty. They're running right close to 150 miles an hour. That's fast. Next is the Carolina 500 for the Grand National Stockers. Here at the Ontario Motor Speedway, the leader is A.J. Foyt. In second place, Bobby Allison. In third place, Buddy Baker. And in fourth spot, Richard Petty. We have 36 automobiles still running out of a starting field of 51. And this is ABC's Championship Auto Racing, live and in color. And we'll be back for the finish in a moment.
This is Glenwood over the wall with a sign up to mark exactly where the driver should bring the car to a stop. For its location in relation to the equipment behind the wall is very important. Now, Glenwood steps back over the wall and starts to clean the windshield with a long-handled device. The reason he's behind the wall is to permit five other men, the maximum allowed, to get over the wall and perform work on the car. Here the car comes in, Delano takes the jack over, Claywood takes the gas cap off and picks up a tire and wheel about 80 pounds, carries it under one arm to the right side of the car, as Kenny Martin fuels the car. Now those tanks hold 11 gallons of gas and weigh, when full, close to 90 pounds. He gets the fuel cap in his left hand, and when the fuel spills out, he sees that it's fastened securely because regulations will not allow a car to compete with the cap dangling. There, the fueling process is over, and it pulls out. One segment of the work. Here again now, a right side view of the car as Delano brings the jack around and puts it under the right side of the car to jack it up. Both rear and front come off the ground with this jacking procedure. Leonard, on the right front wheel with the impact wrench, removes the lug nuts. He lets them fall where they may, but when their new wheel is put on, new nuts are put on with it. There, Delano moves the new wheel and tire in and starts to put lug nuts on so that Leonard can tighten them up after turning the switch from off to on the impact wrench. It's very precise. Remember, this is slow motion filming. It almost looks at its natural speed. There, the lug nuts are on soft wire at the belt and come off with an easy pull, a spare set handy in case the first set should be dropped. Everything is thought out well in advance by this Wood Brothers pit crew. It only takes moments to get the lug nuts on and then back to the jack handle for Delano, releasing it. There's the mark under the number two to show exactly where the jack should be located, and dancing out of the way is Leonard as the car leaves the pit. Now, another aspect of the pit stop, notice the ballet-like removal of the gas cap by Clay Wood. His lug nuts are on a stick in his mouth as he attends to the right rear, as Ralph Edwards is on the impact wrench at the right rear wheel. Clay then performs the same function that Delano did on the front by putting the lug nuts on. The front and rear teams work just a little bit differently. He moves out, and then the car is ready to go. Quite an operation.
What you saw took the better part of 3 minutes to show you, but in actual consumed time at the racetrack in normal speed, it required just a fraction of a second more than 14 seconds. I think you find that interesting to see how quick and efficient men can be if they just simply work at it. Goodness knows they truly do. At 176 laps, A.J. Foyt is the leader. Bobby Allison is running in second place, and he is closed again on A.J., running right in there tight to him. Just about what? About a second, second and a half behind him?
I don't think he's quite that far behind. Maybe a half a second at this time.
Buddy Baker continues in third place, and Richard Petty is having trouble staying unlapped. There's Buddy Baker in the red number 11. ...179 laps. We have 21 to go. And there are the standings. Foyt, Allison, Baker, Petty, and back with more after this. Okay, here is a moment to watch. Car number 21, giving up the lead to hit the pits. The wheels are stopped. Chris, are you there? He was in the pits 9 seconds. 9 seconds. From the time the wheel stopped turning until it started again, 9 seconds. Incredible. What does it mean?
That means he just took on one can of fuel. It takes about 8.5 seconds to take one can of fuel on.
Question is that enough to run him the rest of the way? We're working on what? Lap number 186? Now we will wait for Bobby.